stand, you may, or don't seat. You can grab your Bibles. There we go.
Remain standing, take your Bibles, and turn to Luke chapter 2. As we stand together, Luke chapter 2. Christmas, a specific time. Luke chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Lord, this morning we're so thankful for so many things, but we're rejoicing and we are grateful that you came and it was good news for all men. And as we celebrate this time of the year of the birth of Christ, the Savior that was given, we desire to lift you up. And in a world that rejects you, and in a world that still has no room for you, we're so grateful you still came. And you came that you might purchase us, redeem us from our sins. Lord, I pray that each of us standing here this morning would understand there's not a sin that the blood of Christ did not pay for on the cross. And how horrible and heinous, degrading, despicable our sin may be, the blood of Christ washes it white as snow. May we never forget that. Bless today. Help us as we deliver the word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
The shepherds were out in their fields tending their sheep. We were in Israel in February, and we saw the shepherds out tending their sheep at that time as well. And as they're taking care of business, guarding their sheep and meeting their needs, all of a sudden, the angel comes before them. I'm sure they were being petrified. I think we would be if we saw an angel, don't you? And he said to them, "Fear not." He says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Aren't you glad there's no exclusions? There is the elect, and there are those who are predestinated. And whosoever wills, the elect and predestinated. Whosoever won't is not. But God has never forbid anyone to come. And this wonderful announcement comes when the angels say that born this day in the city of David, as was forecasted, as was prophesied, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And gives them the sign that you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And when they said that, suddenly all of heaven opens up and the angel, a multitude of the heaven, is singing and praising God. And they're singing, "Glory to God in the highest." That's who he is. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards man. Well, I understand, and I know you know it well too, we'll never see peace on this earth till the Prince of Peace comes. But during this time of the year, there seems to be a little bit of extra peace or more peace than what we normally experience with those that are in our circle of influence. These shepherds took this message and they turned to one another and said, "Let's go into Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's been announced, this proclamation that's been made. Let's go." And there's nothing general or average about Christmas. Christmas time is about specifics. And God, being the gracious and giving God that he is, made a pretty specific list of what he wants us to have at Christmas time. The word specific means explicitly set forth. God has explicitly set forth his love, his choice, his promise for all mankind to respond to. Notice with me, first of all, this morning, God's specific love. In Luke 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The good news, the great joy of Christmas, is God's love for us. I never grow old of sharing that. I want to tell you something. My mama loved me, and my daddy loved me, but no one's ever loved me like Jesus has. I know my wife loves me. Bless her heart. Bless her, she's not here today. But I know she loves me, but no one's ever loved me like Jesus. I know my children love me. I do. I know they love me. They adore me. I know they do. My grandchildren. But no one's ever loved us like Jesus. And we need to know who he is. We need to be reminded about what he's done. God's specific love to us. We give and we receive Christmas cards to simply say Christmas is a reminder of God's great love. We're reminded of the great verse. You know it well. We could all say it together if we wanted to. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth," he didn't say whosoever was baptized or whosoever joined a church or this church or any other church. It didn't say whosoever did good works and whose good works outweighed their bad works. It said no. It said just believeth. When Paul and Silas had the Philippian jailer come to him, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Now understand, it's not talking about belief as in acknowledgement. It means belief as total dependence for redemption of our sins. God's love is specific. God's love is special. In Romans 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Someone said that Christmas is God's powerful grasp of love through a tiny baby's hands. And that is so true. Christmas love is always wrapped in the unexpected. No matter how or what Christmas is made to be, it will always be about the special, specific love of God. We see God's specific love. Also, we think of God's specific choice. In verse 10 of Luke chapter 2, and verse 14 as well, verse 10 says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Don't tell me that God has selected a few and the rest can go to hell. Don't tell me that there are those who will be rejected from God. He rejects no man who will come humbly and cry out to him for forgiveness. This is good news to all people. In verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Christmas is special because it's about choosing. We choose who we give to and what we give. I'm so excited about, I love to give. By the way, I'm a giver. I love to give. By the way, if you didn't get one of your Christmas ornaments, we ran out Saturday night, but we got some extra ones up here. You come and get you one. I want you to have it. And every year at Christmas time, I want you to put it up right in the middle of your tree, and I want you to think about Pastor and Mrs. Savage. That's what I don't know. We want you to have. We just want to give you something for your tree. I love to give. I had one of my grandchildren come by yesterday, and my grandkids are quick to tell me what they want. And I'm quick to tell them, it's in the bag. Now, Granny would tell them all kinds of crazy stuff that they're going to get. She likes to play with them that way. But boy, we love to give. You know what the Bible says? We who being evil give gifts to our children. How much more will God give to his children who's not evil? See, God specifically and purposely made the choice to give his son that he would give him to the world. God chose to offer his goodwill towards all through his son. Isaiah 42, verse 1 says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." You see, God at Christmas chose to give away his son that he might become the light back to himself. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Every generation will know they were chosen, that God made to give, or the choice that God made to give at Christmas time. There was a specific love. He loves us. Boy, I tell you what, there's sometimes you feel like nobody loves you, doesn't it? Sometimes you go home and you just have had one of those bad, one of our ladies, I don't have Facebook, but she put on Facebook, and Debbie told me about it. It's, everything went wrong for her yesterday, bless her heart. I thought, we just need to pray for her. Sometimes you have that. You go home, your cat scratches you, your dog bites you, nothing's going well. But I tell you this, God loves us. There's never a time ever that God's love wanes towards his children. God specifically chose to send his son for us. Then thirdly, God's specific purpose. Notice in verse 11 of our text. In verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Someone said, too many promises have been made at Christmas time, only to find the regrets of broken promises under the tree. Not so with God. The promise of a Savior for salvation made good. The promise of a Christ for cleansing made good. The promise of the Lord for leading made good. God is a promise keeper. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. It is the gospel that brought us in. In and of ourselves, we are nothing. We cannot save ourselves. It doesn't matter if we feed the hungry, we house the homeless. It doesn't matter what humanitarian things that we do. We cannot save ourselves. But all that we are and all that we receive is because we received him and we are in him, in Christ. We are forgiven because we are in him. We have a heavenly home because we are in him. We are the heirs of Christ because we are in him. Aren't you glad to be in him today? Before him, we were a child of the devil. But now we are in him. And God blesses us. We are the recipients of God's specific promise. 1 John 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. We have the promise of eternal life. Many years ago, when I was an assistant pastor in Memphis, we moved into this lovely townhouse. Our children were all real small. And, you know, in a townhouse, you share it. It's an upstairs, downstairs, but it's a very nice place. And we shared it with a family just through a wall. And he came over to meet us. And his name was Donnie. And we began to talk. And he said, "Well, what do you do for a living?" And I said, "Well, I'm the assistant pastor of Calvary Baptist Church here in Memphis." He got a disgusted look on his face, and he says, "Oh, just like that. Made me feel so good." And I said, is that a problem? He says, "Well, I'm an atheist." I said, "Oh, I see, you're an atheist." He says, yes, I'm an atheist. He says, "Now, no one on the block knows about it." I said, "Well, I don't blame you. I'd be ashamed of it, too." That's what I told him. We started out right on the right foot. And I told him, I said, "You know, Donnie, there's a time you believed in God. There's a time that, you see, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so any man should boast. Faith is the gift of God. God gives us faith. There's time that you believe. He said, yeah, he said, as a kid, but, you know, I grew out of those childish things. I said, no, no. I said, someone robbed you out of your faith. And we're having revival a few months later. And I went over to talk to him with the evangelist. And we knocked on the door, and he came out. And I said, Donnie, this is an evangelist. And he's preaching revival at our church. And we'd like to talk to you about the Lord. So he kind of got kind of a smirk on his face, like he was going to humor us. And we began talking. And the evangelist began speaking to him. And conviction came on his face. You could see it. And by the way, when you preach long enough, you see conviction in people. And the evangelist said, sir, I see the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in your face. That is the evidence of God in your life. And he jumped up off the front porch, ran inside the door, slammed the door, and I heard the chain slide across the back of it. We were a few months ago gone by, and I pulled into our drive, and he and a friend of his were working on a motor out in the front yard. And as I was getting out of the car, I had just come from the office, and Donnie speaks up, hey, where's your Bible at? My friend's over here. Why don't you come over here and talk to me and my friend? Well, man, that's like saying sick 'em to a dog to a Baptist preacher, amen? I picked up my sword right there on the chair or on the car seat by me. I said, I'm glad to. I'm coming. And I got out, and I shut the car door, and I started walking across my yard to his yard, and I'm not embellishing this. His friend looked at Donnie and looked at me and looked at Donnie and looked at me, jumped up and ran to his car parked on the street, and, I mean, laid a patch of rubber and took out of there. And I said, Donnie, looks like it's you and me. And Donnie ran back inside the house and shut the door, and I heard the chain go, shh, again. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because man cannot refute this book. It's God's holy word. God has inspired it, and God has preserved it. It's his holy book. If I didn't believe that, I'd be fishing or deer hunting this morning. But I know it to be so. Man cannot make you bend your knee. Man cannot make you come to God. Man cannot make you broken and contrite in spirit. You know who does that? The power of the Holy Spirit does that. He does that. He's activated through the preaching of this book right here. I'm sorry to say that Donnie never got saved. We sure loved him and his wife and his little girl. We tried to help him. He became very antagonistic. He'd weed his garden, throw it in my front yard, and very critical about some things. And we were happy to move when we moved. But I'm just saying this. God gives his specific love. He gives the specific choice to send his son to die for us. He has a specific promise, and that promise is eternal life. What is eternal life? It's life everlasting in heaven with him. That's what it is. That's not hard to understand. We believe that. We can embrace that just like we can John 3:16. Lastly, let me say, there's God's specific response. In Luke 2, verse 15, he says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Now, one of the dangers of being a Christian is that we just receive information and then dismiss it upon ourselves. It happens every Sunday, I think. But these disciples didn't do that. They said, man, God has manifested some truth to us. And anytime the word of God is preached, there should be some truth manifested to you that you can get a handle on, that you can get a hold on and take home with you and regurgitate it and chew on it and impart it to your wife or your husband or your children, your family. And Psalm 38, verse 14 says, thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. You see, we need to take heed to the truths and the principles of this book. Someone said, the mysteries of the humanity of Christ, that he sunk himself into our flesh, is beyond all human understanding. Isn't that so? He had to become one of us. It came by divine virgin birth. He came and he never sinned. There was no guile found in him. He was that supreme, sinless substitute. John the Baptist says he's the Lamb of God who's come to take the way of the sins of the world. He did not argue and fight with them at the cross. They drove those nails through his hand and through his feet. After they had buffeted him that he was unrecognizable, after they had plucked his beard, after they had put the crown of thorns on him, after they had mocked him. And now here he is standing or hanging on the cross. Can you see the chief priests and the leaders of the Jews? The Bible says they're walking back and forth in front of his cross. They stop and they say, you've saved others. Save yourself if you be God. They walk back and forth. If you're the Son of God, come down from that cross. Little do they know, there's 10,000 angels encamped about. 10,000 angels sitting there waiting to hear his command. Whatever he wanted to do, whatever he wanted to say. But he refused to come down off that cross for two major reasons. One, his obedience to the Father, the purpose that he came. He didn't come to live, he came to die. And then secondly, his love for you and I. You see, God coming to us, at us, at Christmas time, may be past our understanding. The world can't comprehend it. They have an Xmas. The world can't comprehend it. More alcohol is sold and drunk in the month of December than any other time of the year in celebrations of Christmas. The world can't understand it. They have other, they give acknowledgement to for their gifts. But the Bible tells us every good and perfect gift cometh from above. We must make the response of his coming, we must make it a worshipful, embracing, confessing for what it is. Let us be specific in our response. How we love him, how he has come here, we chose, and how we love his promises. Colossians 3 says to us, put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved. Then he begins to tell us the ingredients that we should bear, the characteristics that we should have. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Some gifts. Someone said, some gifts you can give this Christmas beyond the value of money. Let me give you a list of them. Mend a quarrel. Who is it you haven't spoken to in days, weeks, months, or years? You want to have a Merry Christmas? Mend it. There are people who are mad at each other who don't even remember what the purpose is. They just know they're offended at that person. Time has passed by. And time is not long. Jesus is coming soon, and for some of us, time is even sooner. We're on the other side of that lifespan. Mend a quarrel. Dismiss suspicion. Tell someone, I love you. I think we kind of skip by it. I think we just kind of say, love you. But I think we should pause and we should say, listen, I love you. I want my kids to know, and I tell them, I love you. I tell my grandchildren, look at me in my face. I love you. Debbie and I will tell each other from time to time, often, very often, hey, honey, what? I love you. Tell people. Tell someone. Give something away anonymously. What a joy that is. To see someone receive something they needed and they don't know where it came from other than from God. Forgive someone who's treated you in the wrong fashion, who sinned against you. Forgive them. Turn away your wrath with a soft answer. Visit someone in a children's hospital or in a nursing home. Last night, late, I was with my wife in the transitional care with my father-in-law. And Debbie had fixed some corn and some Mexican casserole. We've grown up with that. And she sat on the side of his bed and fed him. He kind of comes and goes. He had all the family upset. He called his brothers and sisters and said, I'm at home in Covington at the house, and Marcia's not here. I'm all alone. And boy, the brothers started calling him by, how did he get to Covington? And we said, he's not in Covington. We had to take a picture of him and Debbie and send everybody, let them know he's still here. He's very convincing. Debbie was feeding him last night, and it broke my heart. He said, can you go to the refrigerator and see if I got some frozen biscuits in there? And I saw my wife reach down with her hand and put on his cheek and said, Daddy, I love you. And what you may not know is he abandoned all those children for another woman years ago. I'm not trying to bring shame on him. But there was a divorce, and it was a nasty divorce. It was a heartache. And he has sat many times and has wept with me, and he has talked with me. He won't do it in front of the other children, but will do it with me and Debbie. And I look at him and I say, Pat, that's all in the blood of Christ. All his kids come up and sit with him and feed him and love him and kiss on him. You know, life is short. Hold these grudges. Those kids didn't deserve that. They didn't deserve that. But I'm glad they buried it. You see, apologize to someone when you're wrong. Can I tell you something? We're all wrong. None of us are always right all the time. We men are right most of the time? No, not really. No, we're not. We're hardly ever right, probably. But apologize. There's been times I've gone to my wife and I said, Debbie, I need to beg your forgiveness. She said, what about? And I said, well, about this and that and so on. I was doing so, and I was thinking, and she says, oh, I know that. I said, you know that? Well, why didn't you tell me? So I knew that months ago. I said, well, why didn't you tell me? She said, honey. Like, I'm going to tell you something. I've just been waiting for God to tell you. And he does. Apologize if you're wrong. Be especially kind to someone with whom you work with. Give as God gave to you in Christ. We were leaving the transitional care late last night, and there's these nurses that are out working outside the hall, outside the room of a patient working on a computer. And I saw this one lady when we came in and spoke to her, and I was leaving. I asked her, I said, are you playing Candy Crush on that computer? She turned to me, she said, I wish, you know. And I said, what time do you get off? She said, I get off at 6 in the morning. And I said, we want you to know we're so glad her father, my father-in-law, was here. Thank you for taking such good care of him. You know what? Kindness doesn't cost you a nickel. I've thought about how to bring a message like this to a conclusion, and I think I decided just not to. You see, all that we are and all that we have and all that we shall be is because we are in him. There's no good thing in us. Any goodness that's seen, anything that's admirable, anything that somebody sees and they compliment, let me tell you, it's all him. He descended that we might ascend. He became poor that we might become rich. He was born that we might be born again. He became a servant that we might become sons. He had no home that we might have a home in heaven. He was hungry that we might be fed. He was thirsty that we might be satisfied. He was stripped that we might be clothed. He was forsaken that we might be found. He was sad that we might become glad. He was bound that we might be set free. He was made sin that we might be made righteous. He died that we might live. He came down so that we can be caught up. Stand with me. Christmas is a specific time. It deals with a specific love, a specific choice, God's specific promise, and we need to have a specific response. Let's not lose the real meaning. Oh, how exciting it is to live in the day that we live in. But man, how exciting it would have been to have been one of the shepherds. Wouldn't that have been great? All of heaven opens and the host of angels begin to sing praises to him. Listen, worthy is a lamb that was slain, and we still should sing praises to him. Now listen, I'm done. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, the blood of Christ goes deeper. Lord, meet needs today. If there be anyone here who's not certain of salvation, may we help them. Can we take the word of God and show them how they can be saved and know it? Have their name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, have a heavenly home, and have full assurance of it. Then those of us who Satan has tried to shred our lives, shred our family, shred our marriage, those of us, may we not undo in unbelief what you desire to do. For unbelief is a sin. And may we allow you to show us and point out the arrows of deception that has caused us misery and heartache and failure, and confess them for the sin that they are. But may we be like, have the grace of the woman that you say, go and sin no more. For I don't condemn you either. Thank you. May we have revival and the joy of the Lord spill over again in our life, in our marriages, in our families, and in our relationships. In Jesus' name we pray these things.